Liam Horan, good evening to you.
Good evening, Eden.
And thank you very much, as always, for joining us on the programme this evening. Two topics for discussion. First, by email from RL. I'm working on my CV at the moment. I have all the basics in there, but it just doesn't sparkle. I feel it's very heavy. It doesn't spring to life. I've had a good deal of success in my career, but I can't seem to get that across in the CV. Any tips?
Yeah, well, it's a good question, because language is very important when writing CVs or in selling yourself in a job interview as well. And language used effectively will evoke a response in the listener or the reader, and used in a very focused way, it can give them hope that you're the right person for the job, okay? I suppose careers can be a very dead topic if you go at it the wrong way. It can be very heavy. It can be full of jargon. It can be quite bureaucratic sounding. And one of the ways of making sure that yours doesn't fall into that trap is not to think about what you did in previous jobs, but what you achieved. And what I say by that is, it's not your duties or your obligations that you had in the last job, because they're by their nature a little bit staid, a little bit sort of safe or whatever, but it's the results that actually bring life to it. So if you were responsible for managing a new territory, or if you, you know, sold €5 million worth in a new territory, you know, what you're brought in to do is not as important as what you did when you're in there. And by focusing on your results, you bring more life to your CV. And sometimes people, I see CVs where people take the original ad that they responded to in the company, or the first contract or something in the job spec, and use that as their CV when they're leaving the company. But a great deal has happened since they took on the job, and that's what you need to put in your CV. So first thing I would say, think about results, not duties or obligations. The second thing to accept is that you can talk up your CV a lot more. You won't be accused of being boastful. I've made the point here on a number of occasions that most people that you'll come across are not arrogant, but if they talk themselves down, and they're already reasonably bashful, if they talk themselves down even more in their CV, they will definitely undersell themselves. So if you did a good job, if you achieved good results, tell them that. No one else will tell them for you. So part of the mindset for RL before writing their CV would be to resolve with themselves that they are going to highlight their achievements, highlight what they've done well. And if you combine that with the previous point of focusing on your results, you get a livelier CV.
Can I just stop you there, Liam, for a moment? Just reading this email earlier in the day, you know, RL states quite clearly, I've had a good deal of success in my career, but I can't seem to get that across in the CV. Now, surely to get that across in the CV requires RL setting out the extent and the nature of that success. Yes. I wouldn't have thought it was rocket science, I have to say.
No, it's not, but you'd be surprised how many people get confused and they sit down to write their CV. They get preoccupied with listing everything that they ever did. They get preoccupied with stuff that doesn't necessarily matter. And that's the main advice I'd give them, is what is the success, and write that success. What were the results? People feel a real burden to slavishly follow some chronological format, or I must cover every single thing I did in my job. I would be happier if RL wrote two good bullet points about their last job than 10 heavy and dead ones. So get to the big stuff. Get to what really matters, rather than covering every single thing you did. There are words as well, it's another point, that convey enthusiasm and action and things like that, more active kind of words. So you completed, you accomplished, you achieved, you facilitated, you managed, you executed, you conducted, rather than responsible for. Do you know what I mean? So create action that you did achieve things.
Are you talking here, though, Liam, about strategy? I mean, if you're going to use the CV in order for you to get that interview, which in time perhaps, and hopefully so, will get you that job, surely we're talking strategy here.
Absolutely. This is a sales job. This is a job of selling yourself to the employer. You need to be doing a lot more than just listing information. You need to be thinking about getting the employer's head nodding. And that's why you must focus on results you've achieved and liven it up that way. Another way of livening it up, which many people, and there's an old traditional view on this, not to put the word I into your CV. I would argue quite the opposite. It must have quite a few I's. I must have less we's than it probably has. And by that I mean, some people treat their CV or interviews almost like an in-house meeting. You know, our team accomplished, we did the following. An interview or a CV is about what you did to make that happen. You need to put the focus a lot more on I. It's not your colleagues are looking to hire. it's you they're hopefully going to hire. So to RL, I would say, do a count of the I's versus the we's or the various derivatives of that, and tip the balance in favour of I without overdoing it, but they do need to see you in your CV.
And I presume
don't do enough of either.
And I presume, Liam, that the person completing that CV should be conscious of the fact that the employer doesn't need to know everything about you.
Not at all. It should be a selective kind of curation of your life to date. They need to know what helps them give you the job, and that's about selecting the key results, the key achievements, the things you have done relative or what might be deemed relative or relevant to this job you're going for. And that's why you need a different CV as well. You can't have the same CV for every single job you go for. You need to be thinking about the employer's needs and how you match them in your CV. And the other thing I would say as well is that most people, and maybe RL is guilty of this as well, jump straight in their CV into their professional experience or their education. I would take time at the start of the CV to do a little introductory paragraph, no more than 200 words, introducing you, your achievements, your skills, that kind of thing. Give them something early on to encourage them to read deep, to read further on. Just like a tagline almost early on in your CV, enough to encourage them to go further. So I hope those tips are of use to RL.
Very good. Let's move on to another email, this time from DC. I've heard Liam talk previously about questions I might ask at the end of the interview. Can you perhaps run through a few possible ones, as I have an interview next week?
Okay. I don't know the nature of the job, but typical interview question or end of interview questions they can ask, something along the lines of, are there any examples of the projects I could be working on? That may have been teased out, of course, earlier in the interview, but it's important to show them that you're thinking about the actual job, not something generic. So to get them talking about, you know, the project is the following, we're doing this, we're doing that, getting them talking about that makes them realise, and you know, that you're showing an interest in it. It allows you to comment on it, to ask a further question. So that's one way of going about it, to ask a question that will encourage them to give detail about the actual job. Another one, what qualities do you feel the ideal candidate would possess? Again, even though they've said this in the job spec and it's probably been covered fairly well in the interview so far, it's a further chance to see what they're thinking, and then to finish up by saying, you know, well, I see you've identified the following quality there. I'd like to point out I have that as well, and here's some evidence I have. So you're closing off some things that you may have missed out earlier on in the interview. Can you outline the resources available for the position? Tricky, you don't want to make it look like if they don't give you enough resources, you're not going to do the job. But again, it's showing real interest in the job beyond the perhaps more aspirational stuff that can sometimes take place in the interview. You're now getting almost to the first meeting after getting the job stage. What have we got to work with here? Interview panelists like to feel that you're in that deep as well. Another one that I find useful is, what do you envisage happening in the short term after you hire a new person for this position? Sometimes interview panels ask the candidate, what do you think you're going to do in the first 30, 60 or 90 days? But it's very useful for the candidate to put the question back in the interview panel and say, what do you expect, or what, you know, how is this going to go in the first 30, 60 or 90 days? Again, you get them to reveal something about the job, and you can address that as well then too in your answer. So creating detailed, intelligent conversations about the job are very good. The final one I would say is, advancing you're unsure of about me, having met me, that you'd like me to address any query you have about my experience, my education, my general attributes. If there's anything you'd like me to address, please outline that, and I will address it now as well. Again, closing off the interview, giving you a chance to again get into the job, get talking about what they're actually looking for. A big failing for many interview candidates is to talk too broadly or in too abstract a fashion. The more real you can make the interview, the better for you. So,
just a text in relation to that, Liam, from, they don't give a name. Basically what they're saying here is, they invariably do reasonably good interviews, but tend to choke when the opportunity to ask a question of the board arrives.
Yes.
I presume that wouldn't be unusual.
Not unusual, and that's why you must have a few in the bag before you go in. The few that I've talked about there, you can decide at the end then which of these is the best one to ask now, because some of it may have been dealt with earlier on. Preparation is the key there. As I said, have three or four ready to go and pick one on the day. You shouldn't be inside. If you're nervous about it particularly, you should have a few to fall back on. And inside, if you get into a flow, you may well think of some other question to ask, but you should have a few in place that, that you can use on the day, because the last 2 minutes of the interview are two more minutes to help you sell yourself into the job, and you should never pass up the opportunity. So have a few prepared and decide which one on the spot then.
Very good. We leave it there, Liam. Thank you very much indeed. This programme is taking a break for the month of August, so we'll be talking to you Lacuna Day in early September.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Liam Horan, thank you very much indeed.
Cheerio. Thank you.